I reveal my world by how I am. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I reveal my world by how I am. Now, what does the word how mean? It has many possibilities of definitions, but what does the word how mean? How means what are you demonstrating? What are you revealing? What are you demonstrating in your life? How's your health? How's your dog? How's your cat? How's your house? How's your husband? How's your wife? How's your life? You know, I kept saying to Ray on the telephone, how are you doing? How's everything going? What's happening in your life? What beautiful things are going on in your world? Tell me all about it. How are you doing? How are you doing? Well, people aren't used to being asked how they're doing. They're used to telling us how they're doing, and how they're doing is really not too good too often. But how are you doing? What sort of life are you living? What sort of a world are you experiencing in your life? Are you experiencing a world in which everything is going beautiful for you? Or are you experiencing a world in which things are not too nice? It's up to us to begin to reveal what we want our world to be how about. How about that? A surprise. How can I do this? What's the technique? So, how is the technique on which we live our life? Think about the technique that you're using right now. If here is a good point. If any time anybody says anything to you that might disturb you, make it a compliment. Like, agree with your adversary quickly. Anytime anyone says anything to you that might disturb you, make it a compliment. And say, oh, thank you. And mean it. And mean it. See everything as a compliment. And they say, why didn't you get this done? You should have had this done already. Oh, thank you very much. I will get it right out. I appreciate you telling me that I should have had it done right away. And I've been working on it, and thank you for knowing that I'm working on it. That's great. I appreciate that. But I was giving you a kick in the butt. Well, I don't receive kicks in the butt. I only receive compliments. Oh, oh, oh. Who is that who only receives compliments? A person who's totally in charge of themselves. A person who will not let anything or anybody enter into their world and say something which is contrary to what they feel is their highest good. Now, what is your highest good? What is that which is best for you? What is that which makes you happy? Can you conceive of that? Hey, what's going on in your life? Why aren't you telling me these things? Why are you keeping secrets from me? Secrets? I hadn't even thought it was a secret because I know it so well. You know, you have to think something is a secret to have it be a secret. And I know that real well. But you didn't tell me. No, that's true, but I probably would have got around to it. It's just that it didn't seem that important to me because I was doing it and everything was in divine order. Well, you see, when we look at our life and we are not in charge of the techniques that we have available to us to live, then we are not enjoying it like we should. Now, I have a technique here that is not being followed. I tell you all the technique. Before you get in the car, walk around the car and make sure the tires are there. You know? Before you get in the car, walk around the car, make sure that everything's in order and there's nothing behind that you're going to back into. And now twice people backed out of the garage and rammed into the car that was sitting there because they hadn't checked behind them. But if you make it a habit, before you get in the car, walk around it. Now, for airplanes, they make you do this. They make you do a walk around. You walk around, and as I told you the story about Mark and I with our tailor craft, we had it parked out of Chino, and it's a very open airport. And somebody needed our propeller more than we did, apparently. And so we walked around our plane. We didn't even notice the propeller was missing, and then because we didn't do a good walk around. And then I got in the cockpit, and Mark said, "Okay, I'll turn the prop over." Hey, Dad, where's the prop? And I said, well, what do you know? No prop. They left the bolts, at least. You know, that was nice. But they took the prop. And there's a nice wooden prop, one that had been on the plane since 1947, when the plane was built. And it was about time to replace it. But we got a nice new prop and put it on there, and everything was fine. But somebody stole their prop. Now, if we hadn't looked, if we hadn't done the walk around, well, we did, but we didn't see it. You see, even when you do the very important things of walking around your plane and checking everything to make sure the wings are still there, and push up and down on the ailerons and what have you, and the rudder and what have you, so that everything functions perfect, then you'll know. Now, I was sitting on this plane that was Northwest Airlines, and it's a great big plane, monstrous plane. Now, it had landed maybe about an hour before, maybe half an hour before, and a new crew got on there, a new captain and co-pilot and new staff. So I was sitting right over the wing, and so I noticed the wing flap was fluttering a little bit, and I thought, what's that? Let's hear about it. And I watched up, down, several times, and then it went the other way. Then other parts of the wing were moving, and I couldn't see back to the tail, so I didn't know if they were moving their rudder or not, but they were doing their walk around, and their walk around was to stay in the plane, because they had to do that. But they looked out the window of the plane to check what they were doing, to see that things did respond to the electronic switches and did work. Now, here, this giant airplane carrying several hundred people, maybe, I think that was one of the big ones too, several hundred people, and go and fly over the ocean. And the pilot's checking the controls out to see if they work. My goodness sakes, they better well work, you know, they better well work. But the pilot has to make sure for himself, as pilot in control, that it works. Now, this is how we are too. When we can learn the technique of being happy, don't experience anything unhappy. Ho, 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 how easy that sounds. How do you not experience anything unhappy? Don't name it that. Don't name it unhappy. Don't name it something that's bad. Say it was a learning experience, if you wish, or say that was quite something. I just do not go through that again, but it was quite something. And not make a big federal case over it. If we make a big federal case over all these different things, then they cease to be fun, and they start to be sort of negative and limiting to us. So how I am, I reveal my world by how I am. I know all the techniques. Now, this morning I was mentioning to Ellen about charm school, you know, that there's a charm school, isn't that the word we use for it? And Ellen says, oh, we're one of those. That'd be interesting to know about. And of course, they're in the phone book. But what is a charm school for? It teaches women how to walk. Now, if you had a fat mummy and you were walking behind your mummy all as you were growing up, you'd waddle like your mummy. And if you had a daddy who was built like an ape, you know, a big, strong, powerful man, and you know, hanging his arms to the side here so his muscles always showed, and you'd start walking like that. The boys would start following their daddy as they do, and the girls would start following their mama as they do. They thought, that's a normal thing to do. Now, what is the statement? Come on now, walk like I do. Now, they didn't mean walk as I do. It's, I am walking, so let's walk. Let's move it, you know, and walk like I do. Come on now, keep up with us. And so we think we have to walk just like mama in her pigeon-toed walk, and that's not too good. Now, well, mama may have been a sloucher, and if she slouched, then you're going to follow that. You see, we have these ways of doing things that we've learned from our parents and we've learned from society, and that's what charm school helps you get rid of. Charm school puts a book on your head. Why do they do that? So that you keep your spine straight, so that you keep your neck straight, so you keep your chin up, so you keep your shoulders back. Well, they should have used that in the Marine Corps. But the guys that look silly walking around with a book on their head, wouldn't they? But it works. It's a treatment that works. And you know, we've been to Africa a lot, many over the past years now. And We see so many women with great big behinds. They're straight as an arrow, but a big behind. I kind of think it's because they carry these things on their head, and they have to hold themselves trim, and they sort of stick out their bottom a little bit as a counterbalance. And perhaps that has made that big behind. But most of the women are really good-looking women. They're straight and tall, and they're proud, and they're really fine-looking women. And there are a few that you might not say that about, but of course there's a few women all over the world in many places that you couldn't say that all about. But if you went to charm school, what would be one of the first things they teach you? They teach you posture. They teach you walking posture, walking posture, walking posture. You learn the technique. That's the how of it. You learn the technique. And then what else do they teach you? They teach you to speak. They teach you to use good grammar. They teach you to use good English. And what else do they teach you to do? They teach you to do one of the finest arts that any human being could ever learn. Now, do any of you know what that might be?
To listen.
To listen. To listen. They teach you to listen. They teach you that the most ladylike thing in the world is to listen. Of course, for a gentleman, it's true too. But to listen. When someone is speaking, you listen. What you have to say, your retort, your response, is utterly unimportant. It's that the other person feels that they're getting across to you. If they feel they're getting across to you, you don't have to say a word. You can just sit there and nod and be aware and answer with short statements that indicate you're hearing and that you understand what they're saying, and let them have the floor. Now, when it's time for you to have the floor, you'll have it. But a woman with charm is a woman who knows how to talk to people, how to listen to people, how to respond with whatever is necessary. She has these good techniques. Now, what else do they teach in charm school? They teach in charm school how to sit. How to sit? What a stupid thing. Yes, they teach you how to sit. One foot behind the other foot, off to the back a little bit. It's a graceful way to sit. And with your skirt not pulled tight across, but just gently, you know, just a little bit out. And also with sitting, you sit up straight in your chair. You sit up like this. You don't sit back slouching. Well, hey, who cares about that? I want to slouch. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to have to sit up straight and look like a robot, you know. But no, that's what they teach you. They teach you to do these things because these things are beneficial for you. These things keep your body in perfect shape. These things will do everything for you to make you into a very fine quality lady. And you can always tell. You go to any group of people and you can see the ones who have been to charm school or either been trained well by their parents or had good role models, whatever. But they sit proper. They don't need to slouch. What's the matter? You dead? You didn't get enough sleep last night? Sit up straight. Sit up straight. And put one foot a little bit behind the other like that. And let your skirt be even across your lap without being taut and so forth. You look at the movies that we saw. Last night we saw Kiss Me, Kate. And Kate was sitting there being a lady, one foot behind the other, if you noticed. She was sitting up straight. She wasn't laying back on the couch. And she was totally in charge. She was totally up on everything that she was going on around her, and nothing was being put over on her. Nothing was being made where she was not the person who took the lead. And she did the same thing when she kissed the guy, remember? She kissed the guy, and she had him as ready as she was for the kiss. It was not the matter that she wanted to kiss, and she had her lips out, you know, and nobody kissed it. You feel kind of silly. But when you are knowing how you are, how you do it, your techniques are very good. There's techniques to kissing. There's techniques to doing everything. As I tell you, Irene's technique of kissing is so ideal that I had everyone in the seminar kiss like Irene. I said, Irene, go around, kiss everyone, and show them what a real kiss is like. Of course, nobody objected. And they all kissed Irene, and her gentle, loving, sensitive, caring, sexy kiss was so beautiful that everyone, by the end of the seminar, was able to duplicate it. I'm sure if they went home to their loved ones and kissed them like that, they'd say, wow, you are wonderful. Yeah. You see, this is the how. I reveal my world by how I am. I reveal my world, you might say, by the techniques I use to express myself. These are definite, determined techniques, because in every family on the face of the earth, there are bad role models. The mother, the father, the sisters, the brothers, whomever. There are bad role models, and these role models are not necessarily bad people. They themselves have not been trained in the techniques of being a classy human being, if you want to say that, you know, a person who is proud of themselves and proud of their heritage and proud of their life. And what makes a gentleman? We had Kate and Leopold in the movie, remember? Mm-hmm. And what made Leopold into a gentleman? He didn't do anything special. He was something special. He didn't pretend. He was it. He didn't want to act that way. He didn't train himself. He was that way. He was trained from childhood as a duke or whatever he was. You know, he was trained from childhood. And because he was trained from childhood in those manners, he couldn't stray from them. They were part of his nature. And everyone who sees the movie looks at him, they think, that's an interesting movie. But there's something special about this movie. I don't know what it is. Something special. Well, it's that he was a gentleman. The finest, highest quality of a gentleman that you could be. And even in the last analysis, or in the middle of the movie yet, he kowtowed to the wish of Kate, and he didn't like himself for it. He didn't like himself at all for violating what he knew was the technique that he should be using. You see, whenever we follow the techniques that we should be using, we never have to worry about, are we violating anything? Because we're living up to who we are. Now, you don't have to go to charm school to learn charms. All you need is a book on charm and read it and follow it. A book on being a gentleman. I don't know whether the books are written on being a gentleman, but I'm sure they are. And it wouldn't hurt for us to have it here, because we are learning how to set the table here. We're learning how to set the silverware on the table. We're learning how to set things so that we can see it. And we're learning how to do all these beautiful things, but that's the how of it, the technique. And what technique do you have? Do you have the technique of saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, I'm independently wealthy, I'm whole and perfect? Do you have the technique of saying that you are a beautiful being? Or do you have a technique of, poor me, I'm so sad, nobody likes me? Nobody does like you. You come in 10 minutes later, oh boy, I just won $30 million, fantastic, wow. And, you know, you got a whole different attitude about yourself. And it was just a second. And it was just hearing that news. Well, give yourself that news. I am wonderful. I am fantastic. I am glorious. I am a good person. I sit up straight. I put one foot a little behind the other as a woman, you know. And a man, you can keep your feet together, I guess. I haven't read the charm book on men. I haven't read it on women either. I've seen enough of it and heard enough of it. But it's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. Now, I reveal my world by how I am. So, Dorothea came up here, and she was 87, 88 years old. And she's taking the course from the University of Healing, a little slow, but she's taking it, and she is learning new things about herself. She said, I never realized I could live the idea that I am God. I never realized I can live it, and I am living it, and I am happy. And she says, all of the people who come into my home who are not happy with themselves, who are not living it, I tell them, come on now, either live it or get out. And Dorothea makes no bones about it. If she doesn't want somebody in her life, they are out. And if she wants somebody in her life, they are in. Because she just is a magic lady to accomplish whatever she wants. Now, if she can do this at 88, you can do it too. Anyone can do it. If my brother Ray is losing his sight, but what's he doing? He is having talking books. And he's so excited about the talking books, he wants to share them with everybody. He wants to tell everybody. And then he has people coming into his house that are not acting properly. He just stands up as the person he is, in the how that he is, with the techniques that he uses, and he's an utter charming being, you know. And people cannot refuse him his request, because he says, I will not allow that. I do not tolerate that sort of activity in my life. Now, that's just the end. Well, you see, that's his technique. And he does it very well. And everyone admires him. And everyone thinks highly of him. And they think highly of my other brother, Howie. They think he's just a wonderful guy. And they think highly of my son. And they think highly of my grandson. And they think highly of my wife. And they think highly of everybody in my world. Now, do they think highly of me? Only if I think highly of me. And do I think highly of me? Sylvia?
Yes.
Do I think highly of me?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Ingeborg?
Yes, you do.
Ellen?
Yes.
Rex?
Bow, bow, bow.
Good boy. I was just asking if you thought highly of me. And he said, oh, you know that, Dad. Now, do I think highly of me?
Yes.
That's the only thing. If you think highly of yourself, then everything flows in perfect divine order. So begin today thinking highly of yourself and watch how you reveal your world by how you are. I reveal my world by how I am. So you all have a lovely day. Do beautiful things and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.